What's the most sustainable way to love fashion? It's changing the way you shop by shopping with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. When you shop with The RealReal, you'll find the luxury brands you love, like Prada, Celine, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail. And when you're ready to refresh your wardrobe, you can sell the pieces you no longer wear to fund your next new to you finds. Buy, sell, repeat. Guilt-free. The RealReal extends the life cycle of luxury by keeping coveted items in rotation. Sell to shop, shop to sell with The RealReal. It's better for the planet and better for your closet. Plus, during Earth Month, you can earn $100 extra when you sell with The RealReal. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn $100 extra during the entire month of April at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
94.3 WYBC, The Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario here with the electric drum with Maria Nooklato. Did I get it right?
You did, yes.
Okay, very good. Welcome. Maria, tell me a little bit about where you're from.
Well, thank you for having me today. My name is Maria Nooklato. It's a very unique last name, but I was born in Mexico. I came here to the U.S. when I was 5 years old. So I'm a first generation Mexican-American daughter of immigrant parents. I'm an immigrant myself, so I am a naturalized U.S. citizen. I had a very interesting childhood growing up as a daughter of immigrant parents and once an immigrant myself. There was a lot of adversity and a lot of moments in my life where I felt like I didn't belong or there was the imposter syndrome. So growing up, even as a child, I had to translate for my parents. I had to go with my parents to doctor's appointments, to any social events and be their translator at such a young age. So it's been an interesting journey for sure. A lot of learning experiences and I wouldn't be here today without my parents.
Give me your parents' name. Stop playing.
Yeah. So my dad, his name is Humberto. And my mom, her name is Marina. So they are two of the most hardworking people I've ever had the privilege of obviously meeting and knowing, and they truly inspire me to want to become a better person. And they are the reason why I'm here today. So truly, like, my success, a lot of it, I give props to them for...
Let's dig into it. Tell me a little bit about mom and what kind of ethic or something that you really carry with you day in and day out.
Of course, yeah. So my mom, she was in her early 20s when she had me. I'm the eldest daughter, so the firstborn child. And so when she met my dad was starting to study to become a lawyer. And my mom was working as a hairdresser at that time. So they wanted, obviously, their goals were to pursue their careers. But lo and behold, Maria came along. With that being said, I was born prematurely. So I was born at 5 months and a half. So I had a lot of health issues growing up, which is why they decided to come to the United States. So when they came to the United States, they didn't know anyone. They didn't have any family. They left everyone behind to come here to give me a better chance of survival, getting proper care here in the U.S., being able to just have a better opportunity to grow up here in the States versus in Mexico, where there's much more low quality of life.
So tell me, let's go back to mom. What is one thing that mom told you growing up that sticks in your head today?
Yeah. She told me never to give up. Always pursue bigger and greater things. She really, in moments where I feel like I'm not good enough or like, I don't know if I could do this, my mom's like, yes, you can. Like, my mom's very adamant, like, always had that mentality ingrained in my head of, you can do it, you know. And there's been so many moments in my life where at times I questioned, am I able to do this? Do I have the capabilities to continue going? And she's always ingrained that in my head,
And so dad's a hardworking guy. I mean, what kind of ethics sticks with you that, you know, is it, you know, being on time? Is it always showing up? I mean, what did he give you?
Always showing up for sure. Despite the barriers that he faced, even coming to this country, my dad has always been there for us. You know, he's been a parent. He's been a friend. Like there's not one time where I can think of where my dad hasn't been there for us. Like, he's always encouraged me. You know, my mom's given me that drive to keep going, and my dad's been my encouragement. So it's very well balanced.
You touched a little. Okay, so you grew up in here in where you were in New Haven, or?
So I live primarily in West Haven. Yeah. So okay. I live primarily in West Haven. So I came here to the U.S. when I was 5. So I only had a very few years growing up in Mexico. So it's, I don't have much.
So did you go to Kerrigan? Did you go to West Haven High?
So I went to Bailey for middle school, and then West Haven High for high school, and then Southern for college.
Okay. West Haven has so many good teachers and educators. Who was a good educator that stuck out to you throughout your middle school and early years?
So, I mean, there's been quite a few I've come across. Some of them from middle school. Miss Dorothy, who tragically passed away not too long ago, but she was also one of my biggest mentors, always really believed in me. And I really do think you come a long way when someone truly believes in you and your potential. In high school, I had a few teachers as well. I was actually in a few clubs in high school, and I've come across a lot of teachers.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. So, I mean, because, you know, it's important to have somebody that sees something in you that you don't see in yourself, right?
Yes. Yeah.
How did you navigate going to college? Because it's very difficult because most of our parents, especially if they're not from here, how was that, how did you navigate that? Was there a guidance counselor or?
Yeah. So it was very scary. It was a very scary journey at first. I feel like when I first got into college, I didn't have the proper guidance of, you know, what classes to take. And yes, we had social workers, or we had counselors, you could say, in college. But ultimately, a lot of the pressure was on me to find the correct classes for me, to sign up for financial aid. It just, the whole process in general, it was hard. Yeah, it was hard, especially as the first person in my family here in the United States that goes to college, not having someone else to lean on as guidance. And I have friends, I had family that were very supportive in the process, but to understand how it goes about applying to colleges, what classes to take, you know,
financial aid, how to pay for it all.
Finding your own scholarships. So it was an interesting journey, and I learned a lot from it. But I don't think I fully enjoyed my college experience to the full extent, because I was always looking on how to, find my career path.
Pressure of what am I going to do next? You're listening to The Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, The Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Canelaro. This is the Electric Drum. This is Maria Novoclato. Jesus. Okay. I'm trying to get close. Say it again.
Novoclato.
Okay. Very good. See, very unique last name. It's very, I have the first person I've met with that last name. You say a little bit about imposter syndrome. And for a lot of us first generation individuals that come to this country, we do have there's a different culture in the house that's a little brought over, right? Mm-hmm. Then you got the community that surrounded you, right? Yeah. And that's a different culture. And then you got community at large, right? When you step out of the real comfort zone. How was that for you? How did you navigate that as an individual?
Certainly. I mean, as first generation and even as a Latina, it's when you're in that kind of environment, it's hard not to feel like you don't belong because you don't have people like you or that come from similar backgrounds all the time. So just really ingraining in your head that you do belong there. You do deserve to take up space. You do deserve to have people know your name. So really going out of my comfort zone, you know, I like to joke. I'm a little bit introverted, but there were so many times in which you would see in a room full of people, primarily white, you know, and there would be a Latina, maybe, you know, and other minorities there. But at times, yeah, it can be discouraging when you don't see a lot of minorities in a room. But just truly believing in yourself, believing that you are worthy of being in a place where you can excel in and you can beat those stereotypes.
Developing survival skills happens at an early age for individuals such as yourself because you're finding a way to survive, right? Mm-hmm. You have survival techniques that kick in instinctually. You're acclimated to society a little bit more, right, than your parents. That at times creates friction, right, with your parents. Did that happen to you, and how did you reestablish communication?
Yeah, I mean, with my parents, they had, with this immigrant mindset of you're going to be a lawyer or you're going to be a doctor, you know, growing up. And to them, that's huge. And of course, like my trajectory and or my career path as of right now, I'm not a doctor and I'm not a lawyer, but I am helping people and I am helping improve their lives. I'm helping them. I'm like the bridge in healthcare between our community and between the providers we serve. So getting them to understand that it's not just being a lawyer and or being a doctor, we can be so many things and still be able to show up for our community and still show up for our people.
One of the things that happens sometimes is we want to be Mexican, but you're not Mexican enough.
Yeah.
Yes. How did that work in your family?
Yeah. No, sometimes my family will tease me every now and then and be like, your accent, like, you know, like you sound a little, you know, it's been a struggle. I would say maybe when I was younger, you know, you can't be too Mexican for the American people. You can't be too American for the Mexican people. So trying to find that balance, trying to find a happy medium where people were both sides, are able to feel like you embrace our community.
What helped you find your identity, or what helped you be comfortable with who you are?
What helped me be comfortable with who I am? Surrounding myself with people who bring out the best qualities in me, surrounding or emerging myself into my culture more, and understanding my parents and their history and what decisions they made to come here into the U.S. And I say this because my parents, obviously, they came here from Mexico at a fairly young age, but truly understanding what the meaning of sacrifice is, truly understanding how difficult it was to leave your family behind, to leave everything behind to come here, surrounding yourself with people that believe in you and bring out the best qualities in you, and being surrounded by other people of different nationalities and similar backgrounds, and being able to understand you in moments where maybe you don't know, you know, where you belong or what your identity is, and them kind of anchoring you and being like, no, this is, you know, be proud to be Hispanic, be proud to be first gen, be proud to be Latina. So, yeah.
It's a thing when you come to a country, right? And you're naturalized, you're an American, right? Mm-hmm. But there's sometimes you don't feel like you're an American. Yeah. What's the mental strength that you rely upon to be like, you know what, I am, and I do.
Yeah, it's in today's political climate, I think it's hard not to take personally the stereotypes and or the labels that our community, that society and or the political climate has put upon us. But truly being able to stay true to yourself, being able to know that, yes, I come from a background where I didn't have the resources, and or I came from a background where it maybe might not have been as privileged, but I am here today, and I am just as American as maybe someone else who's born in the U.S. And
Wonderful, wonderful. You went to Southern.
I did.
Southern. You didn't. You say you didn't enjoy your college life because you were so preoccupied mentally with your career path. Mm-hmm. What would you have done differently in your college life to what would you have taken advantage of?
Yeah. I mean, I was a commuter, so I didn't live on campus. So I was really honestly trying to focus on saving my family money, you know, trying to not have as many expenses as maybe like someone that lived in dorms, also maybe going into more clubs and just meeting more people. But again, when I was in college, it was very much go to class, come back home, you know. So truly, again, just joining more clubs, maybe living on campus. But from a financial aspect, I come from middle class, low class family. So I don't have the luxuries of living in dorms, studying abroad, and whatnot. And I have siblings too. So being mindful of that as well, and helping my parents save up for my siblings and hopefully help them have better opportunities at enjoying their college career versus mine.
We put a lot of pressure on ourselves, right?
We do.
How have you been able to navigate that and balance that in your life? Just knowing that sometimes just, you know, forgiving yourself and giving yourself permission to be who you are.
It's been a journey. Yeah, it's been a journey. We are our own hardest critics at time. It's very easy to name 10 things that you do wrong, and it's much harder to say, you know, much more positive things. But being gracious with myself, having grace, we're humans, we all make mistakes. But just knowing with every mistake, there's something to learn from, and that regardless of any mistake that you make, you can be a better person. You can learn to show up better.
Wow. You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. Maria Nowaklato, I'm going to get it right eventually, is with us sharing her story here on the Electric Drum. We now graduate college, and we had to step out into the real world. What was your first job, and how was it like?
Yeah, so I worked in a restaurant, so that was my first job. And then from the restaurant, I came to the realization, I want to do something more. I want to be able to help people. And working in the restaurant industry, I developed, obviously, traits, customer service, being able to tend to clients. But I really wanted to immerse myself in the healthcare system. Again, growing up, I had to advocate for my parents. I had to be the translator for my parents. So from the restaurant industry, I moved into healthcare, and that's how I ended up here at Cornell Scott. That was my first ever job.
It's interesting because there's no class that teaches you about professionalism and working in that climate. Mm-hmm. Well, what skills did you pick up or right away or you wish you had known when you first started, especially in a professional setting?
So working in the restaurant industry and the healthcare system, it's two different environments, but ultimately customer service, learning how to speak to our clientele. But again, when it comes to healthcare, being able to, knowing how to connect with patients, knowing how to, be able to assist with their healthcare needs, knowing how to, be able to communicate not just with patients, but also with healthcare staff, So it's been interesting to going from working in the restaurant industry to working in healthcare, but ultimately it's been rewarding, you know, because people, you get to see both sides of the coins. Like in healthcare, I've worked in the front desk. I've also worked in eligibility and now here in patient advocacy. So being able to understand our roles, but also knowing what it's like to work in that role and knowing the impact you make with patients and with the community.
So I see that you carry yourself a certain way at a certain level of maturity. Sets you apart. Is it because you were the oldest, or is it because you did have to advocate for your family?
Yeah.
And when you're doing these things for your family, are you conscious that you're a representative of
Mary? Yeah. Maturity, I think, came from a very young age. I almost had to also step in the role of being a parent to my siblings. You know, my parents were very much involved in our lives, but oftentimes than not, they were working. You know, they didn't have the luxury or the money to hire a nanny, you know, and my siblings, they look up to me a lot, you know, so that pressure of being the go-to person, of being the role model, that stems from, again, a lot of maturity that I had growing up.
Yes, it's tough being the oldest.
Yes,
it's tough being
a little bit. Yeah, sometimes I tell myself, I'm like, I wish I had an older sibling. I'm like, wait, I am the older sibling, so.
I lived in a household that did not want me to learn Spanish because they wanted me to assimilate as much as possible. Was that in your case, or?
No, my parents very much were with the mentality of, don't forget you speak Spanish. Make sure that you keep your Spanish heritage alive. Make sure that you don't forget where you come from. My parents definitely advocated for us to learn both languages and to still to this day be able to speak Spanish and be able to speak English. But they really wanted me to never lose touch of me speaking Spanish and knowing how to communicate in Spanish.
We're heading down to Long Wharf and there's a bunch of food trucks down there. But nothing's like home cooking. Yeah. Is there any food truck down on Long Wharf anywhere close to Mom's cooking?
No, unfortunately. I mean, listen, we all have our preferences, but you do have to go to Mexico to get authentic Mexican food. It tastes so much different and so much better, in my opinion. But yeah.
It's very Americanized, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
The mole sauce here does not have...
Oh, man, when we go to Mexico, it's true. All you do is eat, you know? You go to the tías, you go to your tíos or your grandma, yeah.
Yeah, there's way more chocolate in the mole than it is here.
Yeah.
With that said, you did receive an award for a Young Leadership Award? Emerging Leader. Let me stand corrected, from the National Association for Health. For health centers, how was that acknowledgement? I mean, for your hard work, how did it make you feel?
Yeah, I was definitely taken pleasantly by surprise. I'll say that. I've struggled a little bit growing up with the ability of being able to tell myself, you deserve this, you know, I feel like a lot of the good things in my life, I've had to work really hard for. So it was an award that was not expected, but I was more than grateful and appreciative of all of my staff and all of my colleagues that nominated me and or had the, they believed in me. So pleasantly surprised. I was not expecting it. But it was one of those I made it moments, you know, and I still have a long way to go. And there's still so many goals that I have in mind. But it really redefined that my hard work is paying off and I am making a difference in the community.
Mm. Was there a party thrown for it? Because, you know, there's always a party.
Yeah, yeah. The party's still pending. The party's still pending. Okay. But no, my family was very proud. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone knew.
Yes, everyone knew. At the beginning, not that I didn't tell anyone, but I really wanted to take it in. Closer to the award ceremony, I obviously did let my friends and my loved ones know, and they were very happy for me. And
So humble. We're coming to the end of our conversation. Time flies when you're having fun. What message do you have for a young lady who's out there, you know, naturalized citizen, trying to, you know, balance this world of differences, right? Trying to navigate in American culture, coming from a whole different culture. What piece of advice would you have for this young lady?
Yeah. No dream is ever too big. No dream is ever too big. Adversity does not define us. Grief does not define us. Anything, believe in yourself, truly. I like the Super Bowl with Benito. He said, I wouldn't be here today if I didn't stop believing myself. And it's true. Believing yourself, it goes a long way. It really does. So no dream is ever too big. Keep going. Yeah, keep going. Because there were so many times in my life where, or so many adversities I faced where there were moments where I was tired or like I was sad and I didn't know how but I'm a woman raised with ambition, and rejection is fuel. You know, it helps you want to become better overall. So,
wow. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate Maria Novaclato from New Haven doing her thing here on the Electric Drum. Thank you so much again. This has been the Electric Drum. I'm Jose Candelario, repping 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. And like always to my listeners, thank you for listening.